Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Born Primitive Outdoor. This is the clothing that I switched to because this company has been making workout training gear since 2013. It's veteran-owned and operated. They've teamed up with Aaron Snyder to design these clothing systems for out west. All their clothing is solid, so you can cross over and wear it on date night and not embarrass spouse. It's super functional and it's attention detail, and it's been battle tested by yours truly, and I stand behind it. Use the discount code ELKSHAPE to take 20% off. Head over to bornprimitiveoutdoor.com. We're doing an ELKSHAPE podcast, but we're doing it at the Podium Archer podcast studio. What's up, Josh Jones?
Oh, just another glorious day in paradise, Daniel.
What's up, Jeffrey Dodds?
Howdy, howdy.
Jeff, this is your first week working for me full time. You are part of the ElkShape team. This is day three. How's the pace?
It's fast, but I like it. It's fun. It's you never know what to expect. One day you're in a serious negotiation contract meeting. The next you're tinkering with bows. So yeah, it's a good time for sure.
Nice. And we're doing the December Chub Challenge. This will be like probably the last week. You can jump in if you are hearing this and you're like, what is the December Chub Challenge? Year three, it's a free workout challenge on Instagram. Check it out. Hunt loudly or hunt quietly? Have you heard of this hunt quietly?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's cool. I like that. Have you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Of course. I don't like to shine a spotlight on the individual responsible for hunt quietly.
Okay.
But I am man enough to admit that he's got some valid points. And then I think he's off his rocker on other things. I want to unite hunters in 2024. I've been working on this all year and it's not working. So I guess I'm going to have to carry it over to 2024.
And 2025 and 2026. Yeah.
We got a lot of division in the hunting space, even in the archer community, right? Like there's a lot of division. Like you shoot this and I shoot that.
Oh, there's always hate no matter what you do. And it's a very difficult thing to grasp because it's misplaced. It's always misplaced. It's some focusing on the wrong things in life, let's just say. And it's a sad state that our society is in and our world is in, and it's a bold thing to try to fix it, but it's necessary and we have to keep trying to fix it. You got to get people to realize they're looking and focusing on the wrong things, and there's a lot of right things to focus on to make you feel a lot better about your life in general.
I feel that. I would say to give context to this conversation, what kind of got me fired up is a couple incidences lately. We did the Keep Hammering Week with the December Chub Challenge, and because Cam has always helped me out with this challenge. I don't know why. Like, seriously, like,
why help me out?
You're like his little brother.
He's got 1.5 million followers on Instagram. I have like whatever, not even 100,000. And I ask him out, like, because I have his cell phone number. I've had it since probably 2006. Like, yeah. We've been knowing each other a long time. And I just text him. I'm like, hey, I'm doing the Chubb Challenge. You want to do it again this year? And he's always like, absolutely. And it's like, wow. And it's really cool because, like, he's a pretty busy guy, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll do it and I'll give away a bow. Every year. All these guys got to do is lift, run, shoot, do what I do, do what I've been doing forever for a week. And I think people start to realize, like, it's kind of a grind to make sure you shoot your bow every day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, and you got to get a run in and you got to lift. And running and lifting is something that's tough to blur together. So that usually means two different workouts.
Yeah.
In the same, and you still try to, like, pay your bills and go to your job and run your kids to soccer practice. So it's been cool to see all these people in the month that's historically dark, gloomy, and unmotivating, and you kind of push those goals off to the new year. People like getting it. So the reason why I bring up Cam is, like, we're doing this Chubb Challenge. He's helping out the week. It's his week. He's giving away a bow. And then I read in this forum on Randy Newberg's got a forum. Okay. It's called Hunt Talk. Okay. And I wish they had moderators there, because the people there, I think there's not very many people, first and foremost. Forums were built in the 90s, and yeah. I used to go to hunting forums because there wasn't Facebook or YouTube or podcasts.
Yeah.
But there's still a small percentage of people that like to go to hunting forums.
I like to call those keyboard warriors.
Oh, man, there's good people on all forums, too. But, yeah.
Hey, anyways, keyboard warrior doesn't necessarily mean bad.
Yeah, totally.
The week we do the Keep Hammering week, there's, like, this whole thread of a guy named Matt Ranella, who is related to Steve Ranella.
Okay.
Him and Cam are kind of going back and forth at each other. And to add context, I think Matt doesn't like me. I've heard him mention my name once or twice.
He did a case study on you.
Case study on me or whatever.
Did he?
Yeah, whatever. Wow.
What did that entail? No, don't gloss over that. I want to know what that entailed.
He read you in a textbook.
It wasn't very factual. He didn't say my last name properly, but I think he was trying to say that someone like me could hire people and, like, grow their audience and put out content and kill for content and kill too many elk in a year and pick post grip and grins, which is going to be seen by strangers who don't hunt and maybe don't want to see that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever shot four in a year?
Once.
I was going to say, I don't think you've ever shot four in a year, but maybe once.
I think the first year I did three in a year was 2011.
Okay.
I drew a special tag and I bought two Idaho tags at a gas station.
Well, like I can say in all authenticity, a family of four, if they're eating it regularly, can eat three elk in a year and eat the whole thing. So too many elk. How many people are you feeding?
Right.
Like, where's that come from?
Honestly, I think his point is that a lot of guys in my situation gobble up tags and for themselves, and they need to fill up a schedule of content around these hunts. And I don't want to dive into the weeds on it. I want to get to the point.
Okay, sorry.
So he's got this movement called Hunt Quietly, and I really have avoided talking about him because I just don't want to give him attention. Mm-hmm. But I also want him to know that, hey, he's a hunter, and so I respect him because I want hunters to be united. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to clown on him. I do think if he does listen to this, I would find it very easy to make fun of him and to insult him. I have plenty to say about that, but I think it's childish. I would say, man, I respectfully disagree with some of your opinions, but I do also think some of your opinions hold some water.
Sure.
And we need to talk about that on this podcast. But my point was him and Cam going back and forth this week, and I'm seeing all the people pile on Matt's side, like Cam, Cammy juice, Cam take steroids, Cam. What all started this was that Cam was on Joe Rogan's podcast recently.
Yeah, I listened to it.
And there was a snippet where Joe was like, hey, all you dumbasses, if the trailhead's too busy, just move to a different
trailhead. Go to a different trailhead. Yeah, I heard that.
And I didn't listen to that podcast, but if you just listen to that clip without any context, that would make me angry. I'm a public landowner.
I agree. That was I heard him say that, and my like, dude, you've now have you really experienced that? Do you know what that really means?
Yeah.
I don't think you quite understand that. And you know, in the defense of Joe lives in a different world than we live in. I don't think he's ever truly experienced what he's talking about there. Because it does seem like a simple solution. Well, if there's a whole bunch of people here, go somewhere else.
Right.
Well, it doesn't necessarily work like that. I mean, there's only so many trailheads and so many places where you can get into where there is realistic activity. So that was a poor choice of words from someone that probably doesn't fully understand what that's like.
I can't disagree. But I do think, I keep on wanting to say Steve. It's not Steve. It is Steve Ranella's brother. I don't know if it's
Matt,
his older
younger
brother. But it's probably not a very comfortable situation to go to Thanksgiving dinner with both those at the table. I don't know if they're actually even... They're probably estranged, honestly.
That would make sense.
But I don't care either way. It's none of my business, quite honestly. But what I wanted to say was, like, I think I saw Cam post a bunch of screenshots of what Matt's been posting, and I guess Matt's got a shirt that says "Stop Hammering."
Where do I buy that shirt? I'll buy that shirt. I'll buy it right now. Do what is? What's the website? I'll look that up right now.
I don't know, but I think it's $22.
I'll pay for it. Oh, fuck. I'm going to. Where is it?
Why are you going to buy this shirt?
Because I'll, that's hilarious.
It is.
It's hilarious.
I don't think Cam thinks it's very funny.
No, come on. Cam. Like, Cam can just. Nobody
Cam
cares.
Things.
Work harder.
Right.
No, like, why do you care?
Cam's honestly, too busy doing Cam things.
Cam, you're like way above that. Like, just ignore him.
Right. So
ignore him.
But the point of all this, like them going back and forth, what's really making me scratch my head is like, there's a 330 million, I bet there's more, people living in the United States of America. And there's only 14 to 16 million of those are hunters. What's 14 million divided by 330 million? Josh, my numbers guy, is that 3%, 4%?
No, hold on. 14 from 300, hold on, give me, no, hang on. It's like it's 4% or 5%.
It's not more than 5%.
It's 4%.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're give or take.
We have all these hunters, but really we don't have that many hunters.
No, it's a small percentage of the population. And it's a small percentage of the population to the extent that they shouldn't be bickering with each other.
Right.
They should be all arguing the same thing. Like, why get upset at somebody for being able to procure more tags if that's their passion and that's their effort? That doesn't make sense to me at all.
They want life to be fair, and I'm here to tell you guys it's not fair. Now, don't pick this apart, but, like, I don't live in a fair world. There are the haves and have-nots. I want more of the have-nots to have opportunity. Mm-hmm. I get it. Like, access, like, public land access, private land access, more sure. tax for everybody. But at the end of the day, it's never going to be fair.
Well, but the point that really is relevant, one, it's not necessarily going to be fair, but two, there's only X number of tags available in a non-resident quota system, right? So you buying four doesn't change how many people are hunting. In fact, it lowers the number of people that are hunting. So if your complaint is it's not fair that one guy gets so many hunting opportunities, it's not hurting the next guy's hunting opportunity. It's not, other than there's one less tag available, right? But if you really are dying for a tag, you can get one. You just have to be able to plan for it and prepare for it. As you know,
from what I understand, their arguments are a lot more to do with. I mean, it has something to do with that you shouldn't only hunt. Get I don't know what their numbers are, but like gobbling up all the tags is not cool to them. Not advocating for conservation and buying a tag is not conservation. Like actionable steps to help. Secure animals' longevity. They talk about, so we talked about land access. Like, lots of land is getting leased up to private entities.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
Door knocking, you're going to find yourself knocking on a door and be like, I used to give permission, but now this guy's paying me, you know, thousands of dollars to lease up my land. Sorry.
Right.
And that's kind of like capitalism, quite honestly. Like, there's supply and demand, and someone's willing to pay for something, there's a value there. right?
Oh, for sure.
Sucks, right? Because I grew up hunting public land, and if I did ever hunt private land, it's because I knocked on the door with both kids in my arms and maybe a gift basket and offering to do some work around the place. But totally. I wasn't in a position to – I've never leased land, quite honestly. Never have. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say I wouldn't, though. But that's kind of their main argument is, like, they're the gobbling up of tags and the killing for content, the posting of things on social platforms where strangers can see, and incentivizing the sell of commercialization of hunting so that you can push products, you know? So I'm just giving you their side.
Sure.
And then I'm just kind of telling you, like, their delivery is pretty bad in their... In my opinion, it can be harsh. It'd be hard to stomach.
Sure.
And it does create division.
Sure.
And so I wanted to see if we could brainstorm roundtable. Is there a way to, like, validate some of their points, encourage them to police within our industry so that if there is someone filming something absolutely terrible and distasteful and it does nothing good, that we message the crap out of that person privately, like, hey, man, take that down. That's not cool. That doesn't put hunting in a good light.
Sure.
And then maybe that guy's like, or gal's like, that's my bad. There's always going to be bad apples. But is there a way for us to validate some of their points, but also remind them that we are so small in numbers? Because PETA is not bickering amongst themselves.
No.
Anti-hunters are so unified and dialed with their message, and they have strength in numbers, and they have deep pockets. And then we have the rest of the uninitiated, indifferent U.S. population that doesn't hate hunting but isn't anti-hunting. Yeah. And those are the ones that we want to at least know about hunting and all the positives that go with it.
Sure.
So what are some ways that we could, heck, maybe bring the community together versus creating so many subdivisions that we're never going to – like, it's just a losing battle for everybody. Do you guys have anything to say about that?
You want to go?
Go ahead.
I would say the first complaint, you know, what, or maybe we should break down the lists of the things that they're saying and address them one at a time.
Okay.
Might be smarter, but I would start with saying, so they're upset about hunting opportunities not being as good. Is that part of it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So why aren't hunting opportunities as good? Is it mismanaged by fish and game? Would that be why hunting opportunities aren't as good?
A higher population of hunters, you know, the growth of hunting has expanded.
The R3 movement bugs them down quite a bit.
The growth of hunters is an arguable thing because statistically hunting has been decreasing every year up until 3 years ago. So how can you complain about that if you're saying that, oh, there's more hunters? Well, there hasn't been. For like ever since I've been in this industry, it's been a declining industry. Like the number of people hunting every year, year after year after year, was getting smaller, and the average age was getting a year older every year, which means we weren't bringing in younger people into the sport. So only in the last 3 years has it gone up, and it hasn't gone up drastically. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's actually an accurate argument. I really don't. I think the real argument is that our fish and game systems have been poorly managed and hunted without accurate management. Any state that lets any resident buy a tag no matter what isn't managing their state. Because there's no way they effectively know how many animals they have. Right. So my argument would be, why are you getting mad at the guy that's paying inordinate amount of money for an out-of-state tag to hunt in an area when the only reason your area isn't good is because it's not being managed properly? That's not your fault. That's not my fault. That's not your fault.
Right.
That's Fish and Game's fault. And you need to take that question to them. Because if we're just pointing the finger at each other because of the type of hunting we're doing, we're not going to get anywhere. Where's the management coming from and what's really the problem?
I think their message, from what I can tell, has really good intentions. Like, but how it comes across is like basically like, I don't want hunting shared. I want to keep it a secret. I want it all to myself. I want a better experience. I don't want everyone knowing about it because of social media platforms or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that to a degree because, man, like there was a point in my time in where I was just... pretty salty that I'd see hunting celebrities going to these ranches, mm-hmm. killing the best elk. And then I'm over here cutting my teeth, blue collar style hunting, although I'm not blue collar, just doing that grind. And I can see to a point, but the bigger picture to me is like, I do think we're still like on the decline as far as total hunters go. And I do think that mean average age of a hunter is going up every year. How old are you?
I'm 44.
I think you're a couple years off of the mean average age of hunters in the United States.
I am.
And I want that number to go down a little bit.
Yes.
If we're going to have hunting. But I haven't heard them or anyone really talk about, is the U.S. population growing? Is there urban sprawl? Everywhere I look, and now that I'm 42, there are places I used to hunt that is now chocked full of pavement, development, houses everywhere.
Sure.
You don't hunt there because there's no there's no game there. It's all houses.
There's no habitat for animals.
So habitat loss is kind of a concern. I don't think people talk about that as much.
Yeah.
I think COVID did kind of bump numbers up. I mean, did you have your best year in business ever during COVID as a archery shop owner?
Since then, it's been a drastic increase. But one thing you got to understand as an archery shop owner is during COVID, we lost 30% of the shops. So three out of every 10 bow shops closed within 3 months.
Dang.
Brutal.
Right? Because a lot of them were mom and pop, single operator owner, no other source of revenue.
Right.
And the revenue stopped.
Right.
Right. Or they were on the verge of retirement or closing their doors anyway, or they're, you know, a lot of shops can barely get through their 30-day pay cycle. Like they're struggling to pay the bill at the end of 30 days because a lot of the products that we buy are on a 30-day term. So if you take away 30 days of revenue, 60 days of revenue, they can't pay their bills. They just close their doors.
Hmm.
I know several of them closed and just didn't reopen. And that forced people to go into other stores because there just weren't other options, right? Hmm. So that's part of where our growth came from. On top of my buying habits and the things that I had done up to that point, I had product where most other people didn't, and I was reordering product at a clip that nobody else really was. So it maintained my flow of product. So I always had product.
This is hindsight speaking.
Yes, this is hindsight speaking.
Okay.
It maintained my flow of product, and it made sure that people could get something where you couldn't find it other places. So the amount of people that traveled to come buy bows for me and things like that was excessive. I've never seen it. Now I do actually think I'm going to see that again this year with the demand for the Matthews product and how hard it's going to be to get and how many I have on order. So I expect to see it again in that, but in general, I don't think you'll ever see it again. And you could actually watch like the sales of entry-level product like at the beginning of COVID. So you got to understand most people went out to buy a gun and couldn't get a gun. So then they looked at what else can I get because they started freaking out that I got to figure out how to hunt because I went to the store to buy meat and there wasn't meat.
Yeah.
So I need to figure out where to go buy meat. And I guarantee you there were probably more people who got wrote a ticket for hunting when there was no hunting season because they had no idea there were hunting seasons, right? But we sold an immense amount of entry-level product. Immense. You couldn't hardly give away an entry-level bow a year and a half later. Because anybody that had any interest whatsoever in starting bought a bow. And then if it didn't work out well, they sold it as a used bow.
Yeah.
So there were so many entry-level bows in circulation, it was bonkers. Like nobody's entry-level product is doing well because there's so much of it out there now. Now, mid-level and upper-level product, you know, those people who bought entry-level bows that stuck with it are now like, okay, well, this is very basic and I want a more effective tool. So you're going to see that grow. But the entry-level was a huge boom, but we probably lost half of them at least.
I don't think Idaho has like lowered or increased the number of non-resident elk tags they sell each year.
Yeah.
Pre and post COVID. So I just want to throw that out there, but I guess maybe I'll come back to two things. And first one I'll address is like the surplus killing or whatever. I remember the first year I killed three bulls in a year. I didn't have an Instagram account. I don't think I had a YouTube account. Definitely didn't have Elk Shape. Wasn't even started. I've been buying two elk tags in Idaho since I started.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2011, I just happened to draw a slim.
We should preface that Idaho had a certain number of non-resident tags for sale. And at a certain point, you could buy an additional one if they didn't get sold because they had a quota to sell.
Which they never did.
You used to be able to go in December and still buy another tag. So guys would hunt until they killed something and then go buy another tag if it was still available.
I've done that in September many times. Killed an elk.
So just so you know, that's where that came from is they had a number of tags that they wanted to issue and allocate for ethical harvest. And if they didn't get sold, a guy who already bought one could go buy another one.
I want to say it was 2017 or 2018. I think I'd killed a bull and I went down to the old gas station to pick up a second tag. And I remember the lady saying, oh, there's only like two left. And that was the first year I was like,
What?
What? And so the following year, I had bought my tag, and for the first time ever, I went and gambled and bought a second tag.
Yeah, when they came on sale. As soon as you were allowed to. Was that August 1st, or was that when season opened?
It was August 1st.
Yeah.
August 1st. So August 1st. I do want to say, like, in 2011, I remember I butchered both two bowls, and I plan on eating both two bowls, but that third bowl, I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to eat three elk in a year. I remember giving some to my mom, single lady, mm-hmm. and my dad. And then I brought a cooler full of organic elk meat that I had butchered myself. I brought it to my gym, my CrossFit gym, which was mm-hmm. chocked full of those people I was talking about that aren't anti-hunting, but they're not hunters.
Right.
They're indifferent. Mm-hmm. They're undecided. And I announced to everyone, hey, this is the elk I killed. I want to come try it. It was all gone within 2 hours. And all these people that have never hunted, never been around hunting, mm-hmm. are devouring the elk meat that I brought. And maybe they're just thinking, and maybe it's my imagination, but in my opinion, I thought maybe they'd be like, maybe hunting's cool. Like maybe it's
an excellent way to expose somebody to something.
You know?
Sneakily.
But I've never been like, man, I got to kill more elk every year so that more people follow me or like me or whatever. Elk shape goes away. I'm going to elk hunt as much as possible. I am addicted to elk hunting. I can't get enough. And if I couldn't get a tag, I'd be the guy out in the woods with a camera and trying to call for somebody
sure.
to be a part of that as much as possible. My second point I wanted to bring up was the whole, I think this gets overlooked, by the way, and I think we could do an entire podcast on it, but the thing that causes so much infighting within our community and maybe any community is our egos. You know, the comparison will always be the thief of your joy. And so if you're like, I guess it's ego. So if you're like, man, F Joe Rogan, he goes to the Tishon Ranch in California, writes an $80,000 check and kills a half-tamed elk every year. And then he goes to Northern Utah, spends $25,000 and kills another Disneyland elk. And then just talks about hunting like he's a this, that, the other. There's some jealousy going on there. I don't know.
Oh, for sure.
I know that a lot of people don't want that experience. Then there's a lot of people that don't want to admit that they would love that experience. But how is Joe Rogan going to go hunt public land?
He's not.
Right.
No, seriously, though.
Yeah, he can't.
Like, that's how not, would Joe Rogan, the world's largest podcast,
yeah,
the guy's on UFC and was on TV, have and his, that, yeah.
how, have his security guys work on their cardio.
You're going to have a security guy following around? Like, you think Joe's going to be able to camp at a trailhead and walk
no,
out?
No, he can't. He's a different guy. It's no different than you know any other celebrity trying to do a normal everyday part of life. They can't.
I don't know so how
it's
that
not
would
a,
work.
It's not a knock on Joe. There's something I want to address here that you brought up about like the premise that they're upset that people are publishing their hunting success on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a staunch believer that we need to grow as many people into hunting as humanly possible.
I'm into that.
Right? For our longevity of survival. Right. If we don't have enough voices, like you said, 4%, we need that to look like 20%. If we want to have a prayer that our kids or our grandkids or our great grandkids will have an opportunity to hunt in this country,
right.
We need enough percentage of the public to be able to vote in a positive way for hunting. The only way you're going to do that is if you expose more people in a positive way to hunting. And like it or not, from whatever source this is that doesn't like this, more people have gotten into hunting because of seeing that than not.
That's what they're upset about.
Well, then I don't know what to tell you. You're not going to have hunting in 10 or 20 years if we don't get more people into it. So you're upset about your hunting opportunities. How would you like no hunting opportunities?
Yep.
If we don't get more people in the sport, we are all period. We are 4% voting for something when 30% doesn't think you should be allowed to hunt, period, ever, minimum. There's only 4% of you saying yes when 30% are guaranteed going to say no. How are you going to fix that? How are you going to change that? It's not going to be by minimalizing the amount of people participating in your sport. And if I got to give up good hunting opportunities for the next 10 or 20 years so there's a future in it of like where I can only hunt every 3 years, something like that, fine. But we have to have a future. And that begins with us deciding that our future is more important than our own personal gain. And the people that are posting on that are worried about their own personal gain. They're not thinking about their future. It's just a point I wanted to make before you were saying.
Here's what I don't like. And back to the ego, and we'll discuss the whole celebrity hunting thing. And because you know what, man, I would love for Joe to join me on a public land hunt, and we would have to have at least 10 days, and we're going to run into other hunters, and we're going to be stoked if we shoot a raghorn bull on day 10, way too far from the trailhead, and be like, why did we kill this small bull this far away, but actually we'd be hugging over it. Like,
you'd be super excited until you realized, oh, God, I got to get this thing out of here.
But that's not going to happen, man. It's not going to happen. Okay, and I'm okay with that because I'd rather have the world's biggest podcaster be pro hunting than being up there talking about how stupid and bad and dumb hunting is.
Absolutely.
That's my personal take. I don't think Joe should have said what he said and how he said it, but at the end of the day, he has done so much more good for hunting than bad.
I haven't heard him say something outside of that where I was like, ooh.
Never.
Yeah, so it's a bump in the road, big deal.
And I also want to, you know, those guys that are clowning on Joe Rogan for going hunting those private ranches, it's just like, if those same people had the means that Joe Rogan do,
they're gonna
would be going doing the same exact hunt.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I've heard Cam say that too. It's like, you know, and he earned his way to that
totally
by things that most people would never do that are things that anyone has the opportunity to try to do. But if you had access to it and you had the means to it, and it was within your financial budget, you're doing it. There's a very few people that would actually say no to it when presented the opportunity. They're going to talk a big game about it.
Right.
They really are, because they want to act like it's not fair. But if they were in those shoes, they would make the same choice.
I spend more money on hunting than Joe Rogan. Relatively speaking, proportionally.
I was like, whoa. You just, no, you don't.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But proportionally,
proportionally to what
I
bring in.
I know what you do. Yes, absolutely.
Way more.
100%.
Right?
Yeah, like it's the equivalent of Joe buying an over-the-counter tag.
Right.
In a state he's a resident in.
Yeah.
Dollars-wise.
Oh.
In relation to what he makes.
Exactly. Like,
it's not even funny.
So I will say this, and I'm going to defend Cam a little bit, and I get people mad at me for defending Cam, but like, the dude could kill elk on public land. And
he's done it. He's done it for decades. Okay.
Eagle caps, dude.
People want to trash talk him
freaking hunt
so much, but I'm here to tell you, in real life, Josh, I'm a very fit, determined MF-er, right? Like, in real life, a lot of my success is just between the ears because I'm just an all or none guy. Far beyond driven, right?
You've got a will higher than most.
Okay. I can't keep up with Cameron Haynes, who's 14 years older than me, mm-hmm. on a hike without a pack.
It's impressive.
I could not keep up with him walking uphill.
Yeah. He's a mountain goat.
There is most people that cannot keep up with me. So they could definitely not keep up with Cam, who's 14 years older than me.
Yes.
Who runs in the rain and the dark and does crazy stuff. And does he need to be doing that to hunt ranch bulls? These guys are saying no. I'm saying, yeah, he does, because that's what gives him his mental edge. Yes. He's constantly uncomfortable, constantly doing stuff that others aren't, and it's got him where he is. But my point of all that is, don't think for a second he couldn't step back on public land and have success. I think people take a credit away from that guy.
Also, I will say...
And I'm not gargling his balls right now.
Well, no, and I've got something to add on that, but let him go. Let him go.
I have been around plenty of people that do hunt private land that, you know, write a high quality check that don't get an elk at the end of their hunt.
Because you were an elk guide?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. And they had a guide too?
Well, what was that?
And they even had a guide.
They had a guide, not me.
And they had someone making their meals at the lodge and the nice warm bed and the nice side-by-side ride out there.
That is nice.
I went on
that deer hunt. It was very much like that. It wasn't like I didn't put it's in my nice. Effort. I did, but it was nice.
Yeah.
But the point
you
is...
You still got to be a killer, and that's what Cam is.
100%.
For sure.
And part of the reality of that is Cam is also not different than Joe. He can't go hunt in a normal place without being bombarded by people.
You can't take the keep hammering truck to the old trailhead in North Idaho?
No, and it's the same stuff that, you know, you've experienced at times that, like, Dan Evans experienced at times. People I've known over the years who've become let's say, a celebrity somewhat in the hunting community, you can't just go hunting anymore.
Yeah.
You can't. Everybody is paying attention to where you're going, and it wrecks any spot that you try to develop. So at a certain point, somebody like that just can't go hunt public land.
I have
because they'll be in one spot for a day, and 3 days later, there's 20 people around.
I have hunted with a guy with a large following on public land, and we literally had guys coming up to our trailer at midnight just to say hi as we're like on Onyx trying to game plan for the next time.
Yeah.
Thankfully, that guy was nice, and he gave us some good stuff, and we went and shot a bull because of it. But still, like, he was a guy that had nothing to do with hunting. Like, he was a fitness guy. And we had people showing up at our camp trying to say hi and trying to hang out.
For real? Yeah.
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 I had to sell my truck because I had it wrapped like an idiot.
Yep.
And
yeah.
The problem is people think, oh, if they saw my truck somewhere, that's got to be a good spot. And
greatest
the reality
spot
is,
in the
it's
state.
Like, it's probably a shitty spot that I'm finding out right now that it's terrible. But anyways, I think the point has been made that like some of these guys probably just, it's not going to work for them to hunt public land. But the egos, as far as, well, this, that, the other, that's what I really wanted to talk about today. Not the opposing crowd. I wanted to find common ground. And so here's some common ground. Like, you shoot a trad, you shoot a stick, I shoot high power rifles, long range. Mm-hmm. I hate that you wound animals with your primitive equipment.
Yep.
And you hate that he's got training wheels. And he hates that I shoot at an elk 1,000 yards away and I don't know if I hit it or not. Like, we all have these things that we hate about each other, but we always forget that I love that you're buying an elk tag. Right. I love that you're buying a hunting license. Yep. I love that we probably vote similar. You know what I mean?
And we all have the same discipline to be able to do it the best we possibly can.
Regardless of the tool we choose to use.
Exactly.
So what's the common ground, fellas? Help me brainstorm this out. So I want to do this as a group, not just me ranting, but like, what can we do to get united? I'm not saying that we're all going to hold hands and lockstep and jump around in a rainbow and sunshine. I know that there's some real a-holes and there's always going to be some people that you just don't see eye to eye with. That's cool. I understand it.
Yeah.
Been alive long enough to understand that. But as the hunting community and as this digital platform, and this is going into your ears, what can we talk about to get people thinking about more unity and ways to police our own so that there's less douchery?
Sure. That's a very difficult thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, it just is. Because you have to, in order to be successful with that, you have to change the way people think. And that's very hard because if you're the kind of person that's posting the things that we're talking about, that's complaining about the things that we're talking about, that are saying, well, you're getting more people into hunting and that's bad. You're an internally driven human being. You're thinking about yourself and you're only thinking about yourself. And the only way to get beyond this is to stop thinking about yourself and start thinking about other people, realizing in the long run that that's the only way to benefit. And that's not like, that's something people go to therapy for a decade to try to fix.
Okay.
So your innate issue is, I don't think it is solvable as much as I want it to be, because I care about everybody that hunts. I don't care what kind of equipment you use. I do not. And I will try to help you with every type because I know almost every type because I love all of it. I have long distance rifle stuff. I have muzzleloaders. I have shotguns. I have bow and arrows. I have traditional bows. I have a crossbow. Like, I have all of it. And I deal with all of it.
Crossbow's not hunting.
See,
you know, see,
there's your problem.
See what I'm saying?
That's like, the same
do
thing.
I love crossbows? No. Do I want the same seasons for them? No, but I do want them to have their place. I'd rather have someone pick up a crossbow than pick up a PETA pamphlet.
100%. Right. Like, you have to have an open enough mind to realize that their goal might be the same as yours, even if their path is different.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put you in the hot seat, man. We got a mutual friend. I said friend. I like this guy. He's made some mistakes in the past. His name's Matthew Allwine. Okay, you've known him just as long as
I've known
longer.
Matt since Matt was coming into my store and buying archery stuff when he was 10, when Red from Chihuahua would bring him down because his parents weren't into it or whatnot before she opened a store up there to get archery stuff because he was really interested in archery.
So Matt posts-
and one of the most talented people I've ever met on the ability to shoot a weapon, period.
Any
like
weapon.
He was really into archery and now he's really into long distance rifle stuff and PRS, and he's like nationally competing. And he was nationally competing with archery 10 years ago. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I will agree with you there. He literally is one of the most gifted, God-given talents of shooting things.
Yeah.
To the point where I don't like him for it.
God-given.
God-given. Yeah. Anyways, Matthew made a post. I didn't see it. I heard about it where he showed how cool it was to pack an elk out by you take the big bull's head off,
mm-hmm.
and then you can roll it down the hill or drag it down the hill so the antlers aren't bouncing.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was hunting some steep, probably Idaho country.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very tasteful. And then this other entity that I'm talking about got a hold of that. And they're like, dude, see, this is why hunting and social media just don't go hand in hand. Like, all these people are going to see that. They're going to think badly. And Matt's like, y'all are soft and a bunch of snowflakes. He's unapologetic. Then they're like, oh, really? Well, check out this article on you, Matt, from the Spokesman Review 5 years ago when the title was like, TV hosts convicted.
Yep.
Tag hunting license revoked for 4 years.
Yeah.
So they dug up the dirt on him.
Yeah.
Okay. And I've had Matt on my podcast, and I wanted to talk about that in his past, mm-hmm. and he did not want to, and so I respectfully didn't bring it up. Okay.
Sure.
But he's man enough to know he made a mistake, and if you are mistake free, the Bible says be the first one to pick up a stone. I personally cannot be picking up anything. Because I've done a lot of dumb stuff in my life, a lot of mistakes. But I think Matt learned his lesson. But
I'm sure.
So I kind of just don't want to fluff over. Yeah, he made a mistake or whatever. But what do you think? Like, should Matt have? Like, how would we police our own? Like, he's our friend. If I see that, should I text him and say, bro, I think it's cool, but it's not cool to show that on public. Like, you should take that down, or you should make your account private. Like.
It's a tough one. It's a very slippery slope because the reality of it is I'm a very, very strong free speech person.
Okay.
So basically you're saying you shouldn't show that.
I'm not saying that. I'm just asking.
Well, but that's the concern, right?
Yep.
It's like that shouldn't be out in the world to see because it's going to paint things in a bad light. But
I think it all comes down to just time and place, you know, having the right audience, knowing, like, it's kind of like the birds and the bees with your kids, right? There's a time and a place to have that conversation. There's a prudent way to do it, and there's an unprudent way to do it. So I think just that self-policing mindset of having the opportunity to, you know, have the ability to use your free speech, but use it as a tool and an asset. And when that time and place comes, use it
wisely. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. I'm going to play devil's advocate, fellas. Yeah. You're talking about how we as hunters need to grow and sustain our numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you said that automatically 30% of the eyeballs off the top are going to be anti-hunting no matter what we do in this country.
Yeah.
So you want free speech, and I do too, but then you also don't want our numbers to go down. So how do you weigh, like, should I post this? Like, I want free speech, and I think it's cool, but I know that this could get in the hands of the wrong people and they could make it look even worse. So I don't have the answers, guys.
The only real option is to try to police it yourself and say, hey, bro, look, that's probably not smart. You ought to take that down from people that you respect.
Okay.
Right.
That's fair.
It's like, it looks ugly. And I share it privately. Don't put it in a public forum.
Like, if Matt had texted that to me, I would have been like, dude, I got to try that.
I got to try that, but don't post that on Instagram.
Yeah,
exactly.
I appreciate your free speech.
But at the same time, like, another reality to that is, like, you can watch somebody get murdered on Instagram.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, yeah. If you listen to Joe talk, he's like, his whole feed is people getting killed. Like, it's because he shares it with Segura. Like, every day they try to find the worst thing they can find and send it to each other.
That's terrible.
Jeez, yeah. Please. But and then, like, it's like, it's what his feed's full of. So if you can watch somebody get murdered on Instagram, what are we upset about a headless elk rolling down a hill on Instagram for?
Yeah.
Like, and why are we fired up about that and not the murder? That's a human being.
Human being.
Yeah.
And why all of a sudden is an elk's life more valuable than a human being? Which, don't get me wrong, I love elk hunting. Life would be a lot more empty without it. 100%. Yep. Right. But at what point are we not valuing human life? And why is the argument this? It's like there's so many greater things to be concerned about that
we
gotta stop being little, like, so at each other. Like, it's stupid.
Yeah, we can't be like but Congress.
I get it.
Where
I mean,
like,
we get someone like yourself or myself. I didn't see it, or I would have messaged him and said, "Hey, dude, like, cool idea. Don't post it publicly."
I scrolled by it and I saw a quick clip of it. I didn't like it. I don't think I did. I might have, but I don't think I did. And I never thought another thing of it. Yeah. It's kind of Matt being Matt. Like, Matt's...
He doesn't care. I guarantee he does not care what you think. Which I can respect, because yeah. I typically don't care what people think.
It's
I just
true.
Don't.
But I guess I really want to get down to how can we find commonality, common ground, like, and make... where everybody makes some concessions. Like, we all kind of... Maybe we take it a little bit easier on the infighting, and in return, we kind of make it cool to do conservation, to seek out like Sportsman's Alliance or Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. And it's cooler to show, like, maybe it's cool to show a big bull, but it's also just as cool to show you with gloves on helping a rancher fix fence.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That gives access to hunters. I think there's a way where we can use digital media and social, like, social media ain't going away, bro. So if you think you're going to get rid of the grip and grins in the social media, you're not.
Right.
But how can we all work together for some commonality? We will certainly all not agree on everything.
Right.
And I understand that. And that's just the way this world is, right? Mm-hmm. But I was just wondering if you guys wanted to talk it through, if you had some life-changing, life-altering thoughts on how could we create less division amongst the hunting community? Because it's getting pretty bad.
The biggest thing that I think of, you know, throughout this conversation is on, I don't even know what to call him, an, you know, Instagram influencer, a guy like you with a channel, with a voice. There needs to be more unity with the leaders and the influencers in the space. You know, the second I got into this industry, I heard, oh, well, we don't like this guy, but we like this guy. You know, every single person is trying to bring hunting in a good light, and I know that there are some good ones and there are some bad ones. However, there needs to be, in my opinion, more of like a, hey, I'm going to help you succeed just as much as I want you to help me succeed. You know, we'll do collabs, we'll do things all in the voice of better hunting, better conservation, more public land access, this, that, and the other thing. This is an alpha male industry. You know, this is a ego-driven industry, and I think, unfortunately, it just takes a lot of, I mean, there's money involved too that, you know, never, that makes things tricky. So there's always that weird line between, you know, because a lot of posts on Instagram are because of brands and because of money and because of things like that. So taking away all of that, we find different channels, we find different voices. We should come together and promote hunting together, and all the people will be able to grow from it because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ego keeps getting brought up,
for
as
sure.
I think is one of the things that's stumbling us all.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is we all have an ego and it gets fed.
Well, we all want to be successful.
We all want success.
We all want success. And that's what stands in the way a lot, because you'll push. And you'll push hard. You don't get to a position of growth and success without working hard.
Sure.
You just don't.
Yeah.
And you're not working hard if you're not competitive. And it is a competitive thing. And it's hard to set that aside and realize that there's more important things to do. But how you get everybody on board with that, I don't know. I mean, all we can really do is act by example in a more positive way. You know, that's the only opportunity we have.
Yeah, I think the influencer word, I hate, I despise
oh,
it.
God.
I do hate
yeah.
it, but if you want to call me that, that's fine. I will give you some examples of like, Jeff, this is your first week, so I'm sure I've pounded this into your head, but I think you already knew that coming into this was like, authenticity is everything to me.
Definitely.
To where like, yes, companies will ask me to post certain things at certain cadences, and I risk getting fired. Because that's just not, I do not want to run some of my platforms like infomercials.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like today, the only thing I've posted is Josh making the most bomb ass buffalo bacon burgers with an egg. And that's all I got.
They're going to be for sale on my website next week.
He's joking.
No, that's just
paid
joking.
Ad. Paid ad.
But like, for real, like the authenticity is king. And I just don't want to fake it. I try to line up with brands that line up with what I'm already doing. And I've always kind of come back to, you've heard me say it a lot, Josh, I'm selling hard work. I don't care at the end of the day if you don't shoot a Matthews. I just want you to put the work in. I say these things because I genuinely mean them. But it is hard as an Instafluencer or a person with influence who companies lean on you to help share their message to do it proper. And I'm not saying I've figured it out, but you certainly need to understand your principles and your values and what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do. You're not going to catch me, selling out for the dollar, because hunting's more important than anything besides faith and family. It's like I put hunting over finances. I put hunting is everything to me. It's what it's like the only thing that like truly just kind of lines me up in this world and has a direction for me to chase and pursue. And it's like, it's just a thing of beauty. And it has a faith component in the mountains, you know, for sure. Like, I'd love to be there when you just shot that bull in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
Do it yourself. Eastern Washington, difficult hunt. And you worked so hard to finally bring it all together. And when you walked up to that elk, I don't think the first thing you were thinking is, how can I get the best photo so I can get the best likes? I think you were in tears thinking, man, I wish my dad was here right now.
It was the closest I felt to my dad since he died.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of pure people out there that are really, truly love hunting. And if Elk Shape goes away, Jeff, and you're out of a job, I'm sorry, but I'm not done hunting. Like, yeah. I'm hunting whether or not I have a videographer, photographer, and need to get content. And I hope, and my wish is that everybody who has influence did have pure intentions, but I can't guarantee that they do.
Right.
You know, I think people don't give themselves enough credit. In my position, like, audiences can sniff out that fake shit.
Yeah,
totally. In a heartbeat.
Sure.
If you really didn't know much about archery, seriously, if you really were just...
Well, it depends on where you go to find out. There's probably a lot of places that think I don't know a lot about archery.
Any of your naysayers or critics,
yeah.
I challenge them to come down here in real life and convince me that they know more than you. I've been around in the archery game. I was telling him once we set up his bow today and you were doing whatever, I said, dude, you just had, in my opinion, one of the top, if not the top dudes, build your bow today. You're going to be, this thing's going to be, like his last group was like this.
Yeah.
And then he's like, ask me, it was a far shot. He's like, did you put my arrows in the 11 ring? I'm like, no, like that's what you just finished the day at. And so my point of all that, not to pump you up, was just like, dude, people can sniff out the fake stuff.
Sure.
The stuff that's not authentic. So if you are wanting to be a micro influencer or you're a bigger influencer than all of us combined, stay true to yourself. Keep it real. Authenticity is king. You don't have to push pills, powders, potions, products, gimmicks.
Widgets.
None of that shit. Yeah,
fidget spinners.
Ooh, my kid would buy those. My kid would buy those. I don't know. I'm going off on a tangent, but I guess I just really would like to see more on authenticity in our space where people are just keeping it real. If you don't chase your passion, you're probably going to be chasing money. And money is not your passion. And when you chase money, it doesn't chase you. When you chase your passion, there's a good chance if you do it right, the money will come.
Well, I think the another option we have here when you have people that feel a particular way, especially a group, a particular way against what you're doing, invite them on a podcast. Face-to-face, not over the phone, because that's hard to get. But it's like, I want to understand where you're coming from.
Yep.
So please explain it to me in long form so everyone can see it.
And I guarantee there'd be more in common.
Guaranteed 95% of what you think is going to be alike and 5% isn't. Then you're going to realize that the majority of what you think is aligned. And maybe you shouldn't be at each other quite as much.
Everyone's
that's probably the only thing we can do from the standpoints and portals that we have. If somebody really feels that way and thinks that what we're doing is wrong, come down and talk to me about it publicly. In something that everyone can watch and let the public decide what's right and what's wrong. But I think you're going to find that we're probably not very far apart.
I think it's probably
best. And if we got more in common than we do not.
That's probably where I would want to end this pod. I'd be honest by saying I didn't wake up today going, man, I want to do a podcast with Jeff and Josh about this stuff.
Yeah.
It does make me uncomfortable. If you were like, hey, let's wake up today and talk about bows or elk hunting or nutrition, macros, or the best training cycle for this time of year for fitness, I'd be like, yeah. This stuff is not fun for me to talk about.
Right.
I'll be honest. It's not my jam.
Well, but the reality of it is the hard conversations that you have to have are easily the most important.
Because I want hunting to be around for my kids as kids.
I want our future to have that.
One more thing I was going to bring up is like those stories of like you feeling connected with your father, you know, after he passed away. Like those are the stories that we need to be talking about more than anything. Yeah. I genuinely started hunting because I felt connected as like connected to my grandfather because I had a bow in my hand and I knew he was an archery hunter. Before I had shot anything in my entire life, just the fact that I had a tag in my pocket with a bow in my hand on public land, like I felt more of myself because of who I was and because of, you know, my family's traditions and things like that. Like in the hunting industry, those are the beautiful stories that are unfortunately not as focused on that need to be. Because everyone has a personal connection with that kind
of
stuff.
That's a picture of my dad. With his first deer
Dude,
ever.
Look at those luscious locks.
I think he's 13
oh my
years
God.
Old.
Look at that.
Let me see.
He's a giant for a 13-year-old.
Yeah, that's a big 13-year-old.
That dude's 13.
He was big. He had a beard by the time he was a freshman in high school, and I still can't grow a beard.
Are you sure the mailman didn't sneak one in on your mom?
But how cool is that?
Yeah.
My dad's got a deer on a hood. This was considered a Griffin grin.
Senior.
Yeah.
He's got a 30-30 lever action, no sights, and honestly, like what, a 3 or 4x4 buck on the hood of an old Jeep wearing his bright onesie, Hunter Orange jacket.
There you go.
And he's 13 years old, and I bet he's prouder than hell of himself right there.
As he should be.
His dad died when he was 6 years old. Thank God he had uncle
right,
who took him hunting, and then this dude took me hunting, and I had my best memories when I was with my dad.
That's why you are here today.
That's why I'm here doing what I do today.
Exactly.
Thank you, Dad, for the passion for hunting and opening that gateway. There's way more to it than just me and my dad, but you mentioned that.
Yep.
I've had you cry in front of me at my house, talk about your dad and what he got you into for hunting. And I've seen you talk about all these trophies, and you're like, there's some big deer in here, but it's like the ones that were with Dad, like that muley over there.
Yeah.
There's a little more of a twinkle in your eye when you tell me that story.
It's different.
Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
We got to get over this bullshit.
Yeah, man.
We're killing ourselves. I'm not saying the opposing crowd is wrong. I'm just saying like...
No, but let's talk about it.
Let's work more together than just creating division.
Right.
Which is what they want. Who is they? These are the people that... do not want hunting to be around, and I'm not one of them.
Right. You know, and also, like, that non-hunter has that, like, maybe a ring or a piece of jewelry from their grandfather or grandmother, right? We have elk mounts. We have, you know...
A 30-30 handed down.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, those things mean more than any type of money could bring us, dude. Yeah. Like, and those... Yeah. That is the beauty of hunting in a nutshell. Like, that's what we all, no matter what you shoot, where you hunt, we can get behind that.
Did your dad's... have like a go-to hunting knife that you were little and you saw them cut up every animal with that custom knife? Like my dad had this one knife, dude. I don't even think it's a brand. And it was like probably something he picked up at a garage sale. I didn't know that. I just know that it was always on his hip when we were hunting for grouse, for deer, for elk. And anything he killed, he would quarter it up. We lived off wild game when I was young. We were dirt floor poor. My dad was a pastor at a church of like 20 people. Okay, we were poor. My mom didn't work. We ate deer meat. I'm not sure if all the deer came from seasons. You know what I mean? Like we lived off deer. And he had this knife that he would just use on everything. And then I just remember the day that like that knife ended up in my possession was like a really big deal. You know what I mean? I was like... And I don't even know where that knife is now, unfortunately. But, like, do you guys have anything like that? Like, you mentioned rifle or something. Is there something of your dad's that, like, as a kid, you were just like, that is the coolest thing, and then it eventually became yours?
My dad's 44.
Your dad's 44?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have it. Just sits in my safe. One year I'm gonna hunt with it and kill something with it. I've never shot something with a pistol from a hunting standpoint. But
oh, I haven't either.
But yeah, I have my dad's 44.
Yeah.
I will say I'm a little jealous about this, but it's not my mind. My brother got it, that dog. But
your older brother?
No, my younger brother. So my grandfather has a 30-06, and he has notches on every animal that he has harvested with it. And then he gave it to my father. He has his notches. And then my brother has shot a Roosevelt elk when he was a young kid. And my grandpa put his first notch in there and then handed it over to him, you know. And it's just like we have it in my dad's loft, and we always talk about it. Grandpa, he passed away. And it's just like those are the things that mean the world to us, you know. And it's just like, yeah, it's that knife, or it's that, you know, rifle. It's that 30-06. Just like these are the things that we can talk about for hours that mean the world to us. And everyone has that their own story for that. And it's beautiful, and it needs to be shared for sure.
Cool. Well, you guys like podcasts. This was a podcast, and we talked about hard things, which I'm okay with. And I appreciate you guys coming along. Thanks for letting us have your studio time.
Sure.
Josh Jones, Jeffrey Dodds, Dan Staten. Appreciate you guys for listening. Definitely make a comment or share this or whatever y'all do to keep the conversation going. I'd like to hear your feedback and how we can work towards unity, united, not divided. Separation's in the preparation. We'll catch you on the next one.
Kufaru International, now out of Wyoming, made in America, arguably the best frame on the market, in my opinion. Definitely an array of bags to run on the Duplex Light frame. Check out the Bedlam, that's what I used in 2023. Check out the Hoodlum, that's what I ran in 22. They have day packs, they have expedition packs, they have hip quivers, chest bino rigs, the whole gamut, and it's made in America. My buddy Aaron Snyder runs the deal. It's a great team, great customer service. Head over to Kufaru International and do your shopping. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out.